Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning and a happy Tuesday.
Yes, it is Tuesday. I had to think there for a second. I swear, I get so lost in the days because one day feels like two by the time we wake up in the morning.
We talk about this every morning.
I know.
And every morning we seem to be lost. Maybe we're just dumb, Anna.
Nah, I'm not putting it past us right now. I call it lack of sleep. That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to blame it on.
I personally also claim baby brain after having two kids. I'm still going to claim it even though my youngest is almost two. That's okay.
I can't really do that.
No. We'll say lack of sleep.
I'll claim this on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. brain.
Yeah, just watching it. Sure, we'll go with that.
I couldn't get sleep last night thinking about that home run derby last night.
I just wanted to go to a batting cage after that and be like, yeah, I want to try to hit some baseballs, but
yeah,
mine would not look nearly as nice. My swing ain't nearly as nice as Vlad Jr. there.
You sure?
Yeah. I can be pretty certain of that. Man, that guy has power.
Yeah. And he only has 8 home runs on the season so far in the first half. And I think some people, not all, but I think some people were probably a little outraged by that. Thinking, what's this dude doing in the home run derby, even though he hasn't hit that many home runs? And the fact is, these things are based on batting practice swings. Mm-hmm. One guy that came out, and it was kind of a surprise to everyone. For one thing, he was here in the Bay Area, so he wasn't really well known towards the people on the East Coast. But it was Yonis Cespedes when he came out, and he started jacking homers in the home run derby. People out here were watching him during his batting practice, and they knew that he instantly had that pop, that kind of A-Rod-type batting practice power. And when I say A-Rod, it's because one time I was watching him hit batting practice over in Oakland, and I was sitting in the top bleachers, like the ones – like they were open and I can't remember, they were like in the third deck basically, and I had my foot on the pole, my feet resting on the pole, and the ball hit the pole, and that thing was way above the 400 mark on the fence. So he's hitting like 550 by the looks of it, even though it probably wasn't 550. But yeah, Vladimir,
he went back to back, right?
He went back.
Yeah, he went back to back.
And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes out, and Anna, is this bad for baseball that he didn't win? Because what did we just come out talking about? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Did we talk about this polar bear, Pete Alonso? No. Because if you watch Peter Alonso, if you watch any Mets games, and they've put a few, especially recently against the Cubs in their series on MLB Network, the dude mashes. Mm-hmm. And so it shouldn't really be a surprise that he won. But when you're watching this thing, people were going for Vlad Guerrero Jr. versus Jock Peterson. That was as if it was the final. Then after it was over, you're like, oh, wait.
We have more.
We have more that we got to get through. And quite frankly, I didn't pay attention until that final came along. I didn't look at that other semifinal that was going on.
I forgot, honestly. I walked out of the room. I went to go do something with the kids, and I came back. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. There's a whole another round to go here. And, yeah, at first it was – you could see why, obviously, Vlad didn't win against Alonso, but – What was he? Still had 22 home runs after the three overtimes. What are we calling this now? The two swing-offs?
Overtime swing-offs is kind of what they're putting it as.
You know what, though? As much as, it kind of stunk thinking that he had 91 home runs, which is ridiculous. Most in home run derby history.
Mm-hmm.
He should have won, but at the same time, that's the format you have. You have that bracket format, and that's what you're going to get. And in all honesty, all it did provide the audience with something really exciting.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a little bit of a letdown. I wouldn't say fans should be peeved off or anything. The only one who maybe should would be Vlad not getting that $1 million.
I know, right? But it's sitting there. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, there's guys who have that sort of competitive spirit, especially fans at heart. And it's like when the best man goes, he should win. And especially ones that aren't even fans of baseball. Ones that aren't fans of baseball mm-hmm. didn't appreciate that for what that was. They want to see a winner come out of that home run derby. And fans that don't really watch baseball all that often, they're sitting there going, well, if this guy who went out there and hit whatever it was, 39 home runs total after the three OTs, and then he came in there and did that, and he didn't end up winning, wow, that's stupid. This is just another reason why I don't like baseball.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that sentiment. I think that you're seeing something different. And I actually like this bracket format. I think it kind of adds a little more drama to everything. And, you know, we did get the drama last night.
Right.
And, you know, you could even have somebody like Jock Peterson upset about it because that's just how the bracket played out. Honestly, when I saw that Matt Chapman was going up against Vlad Jr., I was like, ooh. Yikes, that's going to be a tough one right there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, he may have only had 8 home runs, but you could tell by his swing and you could tell by this guy that he can mash.
Right.
And you know it was going to be a tough, you know, tough face-off there.
I don't know if they need to create some sort of bye or something like that because Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes out against Matt Chapman who only hits 13 home runs and this dude hits 16 more than him.
Yeah, his dad needs to hit his target, though.
I know, right?
Come on, the whole time I was sitting there.
Dad was nervous.
I know, poor guy. Honestly, he also got the call late.
You're so sympathetic
I
for
am.
Him. I'm like,
come
Dad,
on, Papa
come
Chappy.
On, get it going.
Come on, Papa Chappy.
Get it going. You're out there, your son's living his dream. This could be the only home run derby that he's got going on, and you can't throw him a pitch down the middle. You're throwing sliders and two-seam fastballs.
Poor guy was
movement.
Nervous. Poor guy.
The spin rate on those balls must have been insane.
He was liking when you're pitching inside.
No, it was cool that Chapman got out there, and hopefully he got recognition because that's really all it comes down to, especially for a guy on the A's like Matt Chapman who needs recognition and deserves all the mm-hmm. recognition in the world because of how good of a player he is in general. And so hopefully some people learn who Matt Chapman was. A lot of A's fans, I think, wanted Chris Davis possibly in that home run derby or even Matt Olson. But as far as popularity goes, I don't think anyone knows who Matt Olson is in the MLB nationally.
Oli Toledo, I know. Seriously, that's the
one
thing.
He's great.
He's fantastic. I love Oli.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people nationally even know who he is. I'm listening to a national radio show, and then they joke. They say, Matt Chapman's in the home run derby. Who?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what happens right now when you're on a team that, you know, considered the quote-unquote small market team, even though it's not really small market, but just because of the payroll and everything. But they're going to get there. Then, look, you had that one year where the A's had, what was it, six All-Stars? Was it six or seven? Anyway, All-Stars. And that's where that year they were more recognized. Yoenis Cespedes, you talked about him with going into the home run derby. Nobody knew who he was, and all of a sudden he made a name for himself. And everybody knows who Yo is now.
Yeah.
So that's why you have guys like Chapman wanting to take part in festivities like this because they do get that recognition because they, you know, people do find out who he is. And, you know, you see it in the All-Star voting. You know, the guy's a platinum glove and he wasn't even one of the three finalists.
Well, you mentioned one of those 7 All-Stars or whatever it was. Then they ended up trading them all away.
Mm-hmm.
So when Matt Chapman went up there, they were probably like, oh, just another good A's player that they're going to trade away. I feel like I could have been the thing nationally. But
it's young players, too.
Nevertheless, though, I think that it's just interesting how we really don't – we're not going to remember that Peter Alonso won this thing. We are going to remember this for Vlad Guerrero Jr. versus Jock Peterson, and that's just a fact. Can you remember – and back in, what was it? I can't remember the year. But Hamilton, in the first round, hit 25-plus home runs, I think. And that was one of the more memories I have. I remember I had Chase Utley winning that damn home run derby, and that didn't work out. I think it was in 2008. But Josh Hamilton went out there, hit 25-plus, set a record. And then, do you remember who the winner is? Of that
I only know
under?
Because I saw it in our group email last
night.
But
it wasn't Josh Hamilton.
Nope.
And so, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. If you can try and guess off the top of your head who won that home run derby that Josh Hamilton was a part of, let me know. Because all I remember from that, before I looked it up, was Josh Hamilton hitting all those home runs. And I kind of feel bad for Peter Alonso, but I feel bad for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They should have put some sort of bye in there or something like that. I don't know what they need to do. They're always changing formats. The one thing they do have right, though, is the countdown. Countdown from 3 minutes. I don't know if they need to shorten that or whatever, just so guys are less tired and guys like Guerrero Jr. can have more of a chance. I don't know if they need to shorten that time or whatever, but it was entertaining, to say the least. And I think they need to put some sort of like a buy, something just to help that bracket, make it not seem so unfair. Because it's like the guy goes up there and hits 29 to start off, and then Matt Chapman only hits 13. It's like you realize you don't need that extra, 15. You don't need that extra 15 in order to win.
Is it almost selfish of me as an A's fan saying, okay, at least he didn't go over swinging, like, say, Vlad. Like, now, Vlad, you have somebody who how will this affect him the second half of the season?
Yeah.
Because we did see what happened with Yoenis Cespedes after that. It did affect him in the second half. I believe it was the second time he went for the home run derby, and he had issues kind of finding his swing again. So, in a way, it was like, all right, you know, I would have loved for him to go further just for recognition and, you know, because I want to support him and everything, but it's okay. I'm happy you didn't overdo it at the same time.
You know what, though? That's kind of the last example of that sort of second half thing happening. Because Giancarlo Stanton came out, and then they said he had a little second-half slump. But the fact is, the first half's way bigger than the second half of the season.
That's the point.
You only have – you have like 12 more games in the first half than you do in the second half. So there's the home run numbers are bound to go down. And that's kind of just a myth. But it is true. There are definitely some players who have gone down in that second half, gone downhill. One who I remember, I think, was Bobby Abreu. I remember in the first half, like, he was killing it with the Phillies, and then in the second half, bloop, drop right down.
I loved Bobby Abreu, too.
Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-957-0714. I don't believe you, Justin Morneau.
Did you look it up?
You looked it up, 707 and 714. And yeah, Alonso did get $1 million. He's fine. But these guys, in general, forget about the money. They need recognition because they know that as far as their sport goes compared to the NFL and the NBA, they are far down right now. Whether it's free agency, having no salary cap with these qualifying offers, which Madison Bumgarner, if he's traded, he's going to be exalted from. So he's not going to get that qualifying offer, which led Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell to be left in free agency for so long because they didn't get the qualifying offer that they wanted. So, like, there's different little things like that, and Peter Alonso's going to get his. This $1 million is like a dollar to me right now to him, you know? So, like, he's going to get his, but I just think that as far as recognition goes, we're going to continue to discuss this on the other side because there were multiple things that happened in that home run derby. As entertaining as it was and as much as I enjoyed watching it, there were a couple of things behind the scenes that really got my goat, as Lorenzo Neal
I like that.
Would say.
I will say also, too, though, you know, we're talking about how baseball is low man on the totem pole when it comes to sports.
Right.
Maybe it's also something that, you know, Justin Verlander said might be addressing the game, might be a big issue with
the game. We'll get into that. The juiced baseballs, are they juiced? Max Scherzer actually had opposite comments, and I want to know whose side you're on because Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer are two of the best pitchers in the game, both in their 30s, and at least I think Scherzer's in his 30s, and these guys are just killing it, but they also have something to say about juice baseballs. We'll get into that, but real quick, on the Chilton Autobody text line, 650, Ichiro has power too back in the day. Yeah, Lou Piniella always said that he could hit home runs if he wanted, but he was just a slap hitter, and he was just hitting 300.
He was productive.
He felt like that was where he could help out the most. He didn't want to hit home runs. Now it's a complete opposite.
I know.
Nowadays.
Completely different.
Alex Bregman came out and said that it's all about OPS. We don't care about average anymore.
I know.
We don't care about hitting 300. We just want to get on. We just want to get walks. We want to get home runs. We want to drive in runs. That's the whole point of what we want to do.
Runs and strikeouts.
But also on the Chilton Auto Body text line from the 916. Did you guys see the bunting challenge in the Korean League? Actually, it looks kind of interesting.
Ooh.
Check it out.
I want to check that out.
You see it?
No, I have not.
No?
No, I must look
that up. You should look that up in the break. It's kind of like, how would I put this? It's almost like curling. Like the targets are kind of like curling, you know? Like it's just slow rolling and you're trying to get into the middle of the target. That's kind of what it reminded me of. I also want to get into what they got going on in the minor leagues too, because all we got is the home run derby, the celebrity softball game where J.R. Smith's shirtless, and Travis Hafner's going up there randomly, Machine Gun Kelly, whatever. But who cares about that? But the
you do.
But they only got the home run derby, the celebrity softball game, and the All-Star game. Minor leagues, they have certain skills challenges, and I'm wondering if people would be interested in that also. We'll discuss that on the other side. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Calling all celebrities. Calling all celebrities. Please report to the Damon Bruce Show for the Celebrity Cash Contest all this week.
My guest today, Bradley Pitts. Bradley Pitts, thanks for joining me.
Show, and you could win $5,000 all this week on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadakis.
From the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795 from the 925. What happened to the pregame show? Well, it's right here. And the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information as we're just jamming out right now because we're still high on the home run derby.
It was fun.
I mean, it happened less than 12 hours ago.
God, that all it's been?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Started at 5 o'clock. Well, there was a little bit of theatrics beforehand, whatever. But, yeah, it started just about, well, we're probably going exactly 12 hours ago right now if we're looking at 5:20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why I feel a little tired today. Makes more sense now. By the way, I did watch the bunting challenge in the Korean League.
It's great.
Oh, my gosh, it's great. And then did you see the perfect pitcher challenge?
No.
So what happens is you have a pitcher and they have these bats that are upside down standing. There's probably like six of them or something like that. And the pitcher has to try to knock them down like target practice. It's pretty cool, actually.
So kind of like cricket?
I don't know.
In a way, when you're knocking down the wicket?
I have no idea, honestly. I have no idea how you play cricket.
You don't? No. Why not? You're a sports radio host, Anna.
I don't follow
cricket. You're supposed to know everything.
You're right.
Have you heard Rick Tittle do his little sports ramble beforehand?
It's one of my favorite.
You
got
to know about Quidditch, even.
I do know about Quidditch. I am a Harry Potter fan, so.
You know about Quidditch more than you know about cricket?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. All right.
Okay, Mr. England.
Who am I working with?
Yeah.
Honestly, who'd they put me with? So last night in the Home Run Derby, here's one thing that I kind of had an issue with. And it was great. It was exciting. The fact that they timed it. The whole Vladdy versus Jock Peterson thing, going toe to toe, going into 3 OT swing offs, whatever. That was great. But as far as behind the scenes stuff go, there's one guy I missed. And I never thought I'd say this. And it was one guy that I was annoyed with the entire time as we're watching home run derbies.
Are you talking about back?
Nicely done.
I think.
Nicely done. Yeah.
Hey,
I missed Chris because. There was no entertainment as far as behind-the-scenes stuff yesterday. I don't know what they need to do because Carl Ravich and Mark Teixeira are as polished broadcasters as they come.
Yeah.
And they're respected, and they're pillars of professionalism, as they say. But when it comes to the home run derby, you need something fun, not Mark, if the ball hits the bat, it's going to travel to Teixeira.
We get it.
You don't need a guy analyzing the hips of these guys that are swinging, hitting home runs. I need some entertainment in my life. And you got a guy like Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman, they're talking him up. They're saying this dude on social media, he wants to be like the entertaining baseball player. He wants to be that guy, right? Well, he comes on. The most entertaining thing he said was, well, that's going off the scoreboard. Whoa.
Like, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's what was missing.
Like, they need something.
Who would be that person?
In baseball? I don't know.
I mean, for some reason, the first person that comes to my mind but doesn't have the same energy, but somebody who's kind of made the rounds, and I think that if they really kind of worked at it, would be A-Rod. Because A-Rod's somebody that's compelling.
Right.
He may not do the back, that whole thing, but.
Right.
I think I could see him doing a little something, and I know that he is, you know, he's trying to turn his image around. That might be a good opportunity for him.
Why not put Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco back there?
Oh, my God, Jose Canseco would be entertaining.
Have the Bash Brothers go back there at the announcer's table. I don't need a, whoa, that's not entertaining to me.
Oh, my God, now that you said that, oh, God, I wish they could make that happen. For some reason, I just don't see it happening. I could see Jose Canseco with, like, one of those, those t-shirts, what do you call them now? I'm trying to think
of the cutoffs?
Yes, the cutoff shirts, you know.
I mean, could you imagine if he was on the Reds when they were going sleeveless?
Oh, my God.
He'd probably just rock the sleeveless for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Yasiel Puig had some major guns in that.
Surprise me. I knew he was big. Like, you knew the guy was strong just by looking at him because he's got that build of a linebacker. But I didn't realize his biceps were like gigantic.
I know.
I was surprised by that.
And it was a kind of fun one.
Yeah, and then you know whatever, but as far as whatever, that doesn't bring in fans though. It's cool for us baseball fans,
yeah.
But it doesn't bring in fans, and baseball needs that right now. And this home run derby, I want them to market their players so badly because I think guys like Alex Bregman do have a personality. There's something there, but when they're on TV, they're too scared to say anything. And I don't know if they need like the guys from Pardon My Take, Big Cat, and PFT.
They won't because bring them on.
They wouldn't bring them on. But Christian Yelich, he goes on their podcasts all the time, and I've heard him say things that he will never say on ESPN or to any report. Just someone they could be comfortable with, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I completely agree with you, and that's something that's hard for a lot of sports personalities to get behind. You don't have that many people that people are comfortable opening up with. You know, you have somebody like when we saw the Breakfast Club with their tour or with Andre Iguodala doing the questions with him or them and everything.
Right.
They're definitely great at interviewing and they're able to get people comfortable enough to pretty much open up and say things.
Yeah, that's what Charlamagne the God does. And that's what makes those interviews so compelling to watch, regardless of who's on there, because they ask the right questions. And sometimes they might be a little restrained just from the higher ups because they're scared of having another, who was it that was on, not just Jimmy Kimmel, but the other comedian that was on the Monday Night Football broadcast. Chill Not Everybody Texan can help me out there. He's from the 90s. He was on the Weekend Update table for SNL for a bit. They had him on Monday Night Football, but he just really wasn't any good. But
I'm trying to remember now.
They're terrified of what. They're terrified of what these comedians might say.
Yeah.
So they just keep these polished guys up there. But it's like baseball. If you want to bring in fans right now, you need something entertaining. And right now what football's doing, what the NFL is doing, is they're bringing in the loud, brash Steve Smith seniors of the world, the Michael Irvins. They're getting these guys to be analysts because they were entertaining as players. And these are guys you want to watch on TV. Mark Teixeira, great player. And it seems like an overall great dude, but I just wasn't all that entertained by, oh, man, if the ball hits the bat, it's going to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you need something more. You're right. I mean, now that you said Bash, by the way, Dennis Miller.
Thank you.
Good call. I forgot about that, actually. But, yeah, somebody like that, that would never happen, in all honesty, especially because, you know, I love Jose, but he says crazy things.
They're way too scared to put Jose on there, but could you imagine that, though?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah, put Bonds and McGuire up there.
But these guys have the problem is that they're being left out of the Hall of Fame. So would they want to do it?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing.
Wouldn't that put them back in their good graces though? Because A-Rod,
A-Rod's doing it right.
Hey, it seems like everyone's forgotten all about how much of a kind of, I don't want to put the label on it. Yeah, he was kind of a snitch, kind of a cheater, kind of a guy who would slap Bronson Arroyo's glove just so he could be safe at first and slap the ball out of his hand. Kind of a guy who would take way more money over just being like friends with Derek Jeter or whatever. And that just put him in like the bad graces of everybody. Like, is there such thing as bad graces? I don't know. But
sure.
But like,
you're on a roll.
But I'm just saying they need something. And like when they had Brian Wilson, they milked that for all they could because Brian Wilson was a guy who could have clean, family friendly, comedic, weird stuff to say. Like when he goes in the broadcast booth of the Giants, they love that. The reason they brought Brian Wilson back is just because he was an entertaining player and people out here loved him for his quirkiness and they made a whole show out of it. Life of Brian. Like they need someone in there to make these guys more comfortable so that they can market these players better. Because you're asking, how can they market them? How can they market them? Well, these guys aren't really interested on social media like these NBA players are. It's just not how they are.
Well, the problem is also with the NBA, you have less guys obviously on a roster. You have the disparity between the stars versus the kind of everyday, the workhorse players also too.
Right.
But, you know, with baseball, you don't have as many. You have the big stars, but they just don't market them well. And then you have guys like Mike Trout, who's just kind of the quiet guy.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is Mickey Mantle, reincarnate, basically, we'll call him. But it's just who he is. He's just not that boisterous of a character.
Baseball was so lucky Will Ferrell did that Harry Carey impression on Saturday Night Live that got popular because it was great, but now it's a little outdated and people are just like, are you seriously bringing back that character? But when they had it, they could just use him whenever and people would love it because they're like, oh, Will Ferrell's doing his Harry Carey here. And they would love that.
Good.
But, you know, it's just I'm way more just – like right now, you need entertainment. And as like a guy who's a young millennial, this is what people want. Like, this is what the people my age want. They are bored of baseball. And they don't know any of the players, and that's the issue. And the players, they're not able to really show who they really are.
You know, from the 925, what about Dallas Braden? Dallas Braden is fantastic at his analysis. He is very entertaining. He is somebody who knows the ins and outs of the game to a whole different degree, almost savant status. I would watch Dallas Braden.
He'd just do the pound town thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or every home run, rather. Could you imagine that?
It'd be great.
Just 30, how many home runs did Guerrero Jr. hit? Like 90,
91.
91?
91.
So 90, 91 pound towns we'd get from Dallas Braden?
That's just from one player. What about the rest of the brackets?
Oh, man. From the 650 on the Chill on a Body text line, Joe Rogan would be interesting.
That'd be good.
Yeah, he'd be interesting. And then somehow he'd bring up orangutans using spears to fish. He always brings up that video somehow with no matter which guest he gets. It's wild. If you ever watch Joe Rogan or listen to Joe Rogan, he somehow manages to bring in the video of an orangutan spearfishing.
That's great.
It's great. Have you seen? By the way, this reminds me of the orangutans. Have you seen that? They get spearfish now. They get spearfish. That's always how it is. But anyway, it's just what the issue I kind of have. I wanted it to be a little more entertaining on the broadcasting side, but in of itself, the home run derby, it was entertaining as all hell. I really do think that the countdown from 3 minutes going downwards, I think that's great. I think that adds more competition, although
it's better than the 10 outs.
You do enjoy watching, you know, just the follow through and everything. That's what made Griffey so popular. Like in 1993, I was looking up old home run derby highlights yesterday. And when Griffey hit the warehouse over in Camden Yards in 1993, when I was born, with the backwards hat, like I'm just going to say it's sexy. That follow through that he had is sexy, and you can't really see that with the timed hits because they just really want to get all the home runs and swings into the can.
See, that's the analysis I was missing yesterday, the sexy swing.
It's just like I don't want to hear about the guy's hips. I don't want to hear about how quick he turns and how much power he uses from his legs. Pete Alonso, he has a smooth swing, but all the power comes from his legs. I don't need to hear that.
They don't dress it up. They make it – it's the typical baseball broadcast that they're bringing into what's supposed to be just an entertaining, different way to bring in different fans. So you need something more colorful.
You do. You do. And whatever, I'm probably just spitballing here, and I'm kind of just going off on a tangent. But it's something as I was on the way up here, I was like, "Damn, I just need to get this out," and I didn't realize it would take 12 minutes.
It's all good. It's all right. We're gonna get into more juice baseballs though soon.
We did get what's it called? We did get a text on the Chill Not a Body text line from 510. Quit with your impressions, dude. You think you're good at them, but you ain't.
Yes, nah, he is.
You know what you do? You try and do the impressions, and if they work, you keep it. If they don't, you let it go. All right?
Let me move on.
That's how it works. All right, 510?
Your John Gruden is spot on. When you have Frank Caliendo, you went up against Frank Caliendo, okay?
Don't like doing it on
Come
demand.
On, guy.
Gotta be natural.
Come on, my guy.
From the – where was it? Because I needed this text so I could transition or whatever. Oh, here we go. From the 408 on the Chill Not a Body text line. Do you think there's any truth to the juiced baseball accusations? Well, Justin Verlander in his press conference just about – when he was doing his whole press conference about being the opening starter for the All-Star game, he had some interesting comments from there. And then Max Scherzer was asked about it from Carl Ravitch yesterday. And I want to know who you agree with depending on which side you're on, because – they're both on opposite sides of the spectrum here. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagback, he's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet, and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. You know, this has to be like one song that's timeless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's very few of them. It really is. If you really narrow it down, like, this song's been out for a while, and it gets everyone hopping.
It does.
It's never gets old.
I mean, this is how we do it.
Never. gets old.
Yeah.
This and Return of the Mac are those two songs in hip hop that will just never
get
old.
And you always go onto the dance floor as soon as you hear the song. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, got to go out and dance. Mm-hmm. Got to go have some fun.
And there's always that one idiot like me who's just always like, it's Friday night. Every time. Every time.
Yeah,
just stare.
I'm sure that scores a lot.
Just stare.
A lot of dance partners for you.
Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic there.
From the 925 on the Chill Nobody text line, I'm 26, and I want to hear that as a baseball junkie. And he's probably talking about the sort of analysis of a home run swing. And shout out to you, 26 years old. We got to stand up for the 26-year-olds that are up at 5:30 in the morning. We're one of the few.
Good job.
Shout out to this 26-year-old from the 925. But
millennials are hardworking.
And as I go off on a tangent about that sort of thing, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you want to hear that, great. But for me, at least I enjoy hearing that when it's like a baseball game and it's slow and there's not really much going on. But when these dudes are – when he's in the middle of his analysis and Peter Alonso's already hit – 3 home runs as he's trying to analyze his swing. It's just, for me, it's just not something that I really want to see.
I think it's
hear.
A mix. You have to have a mix of it. You have to have a little bit of the analysis, but you have to dress it up because this isn't a typical 9-inning game. This is a home run derby.
Yeah.
And you are trying to attract a different audience. And you have a lot of young kids who are also watching the home run derby because, you know, as we've talked about before, that kids, you know, are kind of, they don't have as much of an attention span right now, but they do have the attention for a home run derby because you have the clock, you have people are mashing the baseball, and they're intrigued by it. So you want to do something to make it more colorful, to make it more interesting for a younger audience.
So I'm kind of throwing you this question out there randomly, I guess, but is there anything that, I mean, what do you think will happen in the second half for Vladimir Guerrero, Peter Alonso, guys like that, these young guys who really might be put in the national spotlight for the first time to some people with that home run derby? Is there anything baseball can do really to market these guys, or do they just need to perform and make it to the playoffs and then go that route? Because when you got two guys, one on the Mets and one on the Blue Jays, the playoff route ain't happening.
No.
So it's like, what are they going to do in order to get these guys more popular and bring people back for next season and recognize these guys?
You need to right now market. Like, as soon as during the All-Star break, as soon as the All-Star break's over, you've got to just put everything you can into these guys because they're the hottest item right now.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen about a month from now. If you don't do anything about it now, in a month from now, it's going to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Because you move on to the next guy. Now, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is an interesting one because of his dad, because of the sentimental value, because of his father. And, you know, when you think of Vlad, you think of somebody who could mash. You think a great hitter.
Right.
And now you're watching his son. So there's that sentimental value, which is different. But for someone like Pete Alonso, it's a great spotlight for him because not a lot of people knew who he was. He's a rookie. He's a young player that most people probably didn't know much about him. So this is the time that you really try to market someone like that while he's a hot item because, like I said, about a month from now, you may not be paying attention to him.
Man, I wonder how many of these guys, I wonder how many fans, just older fans that really, they pay attention to their one team, but they don't really pay attention to the rest of the league. Kind of like I do with the NHL. I just pay attention to the Sharks. And when the other players come into play, I'm sometimes lost depending on who we're talking about. But I wonder how many were out there and were like, whoa, Vladimir Guerrero's son is in baseball?
I know. You only hear about it like when the Giants were playing the Blue Jays and they were saying, okay, is he going to be coming into this game? Is he coming into this series? And you had that anticipation of Vlad Jr. Coming in the game.
You would have been frustrated if you would have been following the people on Twitter that I do that are around my age and saying that I feel old now that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is in there. Because anytime I tell you I feel old, you roll your eyes. It's like you give me a death stare.
I do.
You pierce your eyes and they go through my skull. Anytime I say I feel old after something,
you can't say that. You haven't reached 30 yet. Wait till you get into your 30s, then you could tell me that. Okay,
man.
Then you can say something about feeling old. My goodness, I'm at that point where the players are, I'm older than most of the players, and that's what's scary to me.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the scary part because I used to, you know, I worked over at the A's and I was on the field with where I was the same age as all the players.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was like, oh, yeah. And that's a young team, too, when I was working with the A's. So when I was the same age, it's kind of cool and everything. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, gosh, where did time go?
For me, it's a jealousy factor.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm looking at these guys that are younger. Damn, I wish I was that. But anyway, I'm here at 5:42 in the morning, just talking sports, talking old radio.
Well, you know what's crazy, though?
Huh?
I just saw this, too. Home runs are up nearly 60% from 2014.
Man.
Just think about that. And by the way, Vlad, did you see this, too? So, Vlad Jr. yesterday, 91 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
He has hit more home runs than one, two, three, four teams this year have hit home runs. The Giants have 88 on the season.
Giants being one of them.
Mm-hmm. The lowest one, the Miami Marlins at 68.
Wow. Wow.
Just think about that for a second. Whew.
I mean, the one thing that I think about is that he only has 8 home runs, but he'd be up there with and the Giants in like their top 5 of home run hitters on their roster right
now.
Even though every guy, like every dude is on pace to hit at least 30 home runs on the All-Star teams, on both All-Star teams this year. And that's really, at least going into the All-Star break, that I don't think that's really all that common. Especially with dudes that aren't slap hitters anymore that are making the teams just because with their speed and their defense and all that sort of stuff, the Omar Vizquels of the world, the Ichiros of the world, they're no longer there. These guys are just pure home run hitters. You got Acuna batting 9th tonight.
Jeez.
Ronald Acuna is a beast, and he's batting 9th. I mean, this dude. Anyway, it's different, though.
It is different.
And I think we're going to get into this juice baseball conversation. And also, Ken Rosenthal reported a couple of teams that are interested in Madison Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. And this was the most recent report. This came out yesterday. And I want to get your take on that, too, Anna, and which team he might have the best chance to win with. Which, I mean, would he rather even go to the AL or the NL? Because it's split down both ways. So we'll talk about that. But as far as the 60% more home runs in 2014 goes, there's one guy, Justin Verlander, who's not too thrilled about the baseballs, and he thinks they are juice, and he's one of the few. He's a very outspoken player.
He is a very outspoken player, and yesterday he did speak about it. He did address the juice baseball, saying, "It's a bleeping joke. Major League Baseball's turning this game into a joke. They own Rawlings, and you've got Manfred, as in Rob Manfred, the commissioner, up here saying it might be the way they center the pill. If they own the bleeping company, if any other $40 billion company bought out a $400 million company and the product changed dramatically, it's not a guess as to what happened. We all know what happened. Manfred, the first time he came up, what'd he say? He said we want more offense. All of a sudden he comes in, the balls are juiced. It's not a coincidence. We're not idiots."
I mean, we're talking about a guy now. He is a starter for the All-Star game, mm-hmm. and you might look at him and be like, wow, okay, this dude's out here. He's got a 2.98 ERA, a sub-3 ERA. He's 36 years old, and he's still dealing like he was with the Tigers back in the early 2010s, and he's still doing it, and he's helping the Astros win championships. What's he got to complain about? This guy, though, he gives up the most home runs out of any pitcher in the league. And so he's given up 26, jeez, which is the most. The next is Mike Leake from Seattle, who has given up 23. That's the next man up. So you're wondering, okay, this guy just gets to go home to Kate Upton every night. He's on a team that's heading for the World Series. What's he got to complain about? Well, he's out here saying that it's clear that these balls are juice. But I'm wondering, though, is this a good thing for the league? And I'm looking at a guy like Max Scherzer here, who was on with Carl Ravage yesterday, and shout out ESPN for this audio. And I want to know, Chilton Autobody text line 95795, are you of that ilk of Justin Verlander complaining that the balls are juiced? Are you on Scherzer's side here? And here's what Scherzer had to say on with Carl Ravage yesterday.
There are some comments about the baseball, just broad-based. Your opinion, you hold the baseball every time you throw it. You get guys out all the time. What's your opinion about the ball that's being used this year? Any different?
I don't feel anything different with the ball, but I think we can all see the ball is definitely traveling differently. And, you know, the commissioner's even come out and said so, that the drag is just different, it's less. So, yeah, the ball is different, but you can't cry about it. You got to go out there and pitch. I'm not going to cry about it. So our hitters get to hit with it.
So you're out there, and Max Scherzer he's still doing the damn thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been watching him lately, but the man, even when he fouls a bunt into his face and bruises his right eye, still goes out there and pitches 10 Ks like it's nothing. And then when this dude, it goes down and he's in his follow through and he's walking all around the mound like a 20 foot, well, not 20 feet, but like a 10 foot circle around the mound. That's when he's on. And that's when to watch Max Scherzer. And this guy is out here saying, and he's just about him and Justin Verlander, two of the best pitchers we've seen in this generation, at least. And he's out there saying, who cares? Just go out and pitch. Whereas Justin Verlander, he's sitting there going, well, I got guys hitting for 168 average against me, 168, yet they're still hitting 26 home runs. So it's like, whose side are you on here? Are we on Verlander's side where it's just like, yeah, these balls are juice? Is he even trying to like say, is he trying to do something about it?
I think there's a frustration because all of a sudden you're, you know, he's been in the league. What is it now? It's 11, 17?
Man,
he's been here
Verlander.
For a long time. So just think about it this way. You've been playing a certain way throughout your career from when you're a kid. There's the same baseball. Baseball hasn't been changed. You're doing your same thing day in and day out. And then all of a sudden there's a tweak. Apparently this magic pill in how the baseball is created, and it's apparently creating less drag. And so that apparently is going to affect your pitches, you know, whether it's, you know, with less drag, whether it's more straight, whatever it is. But if that all of a sudden you have to adjust your game to that after all these years, I could see it being frustrating. I could see it being incredibly frustrating. You know, you've been doing something so long.
Right.
And now it's changed because of a manufacturer.
Yeah.
And of how it's manufactured, how it's made.
And I wonder what baseball's intention with this was because it's clear that it's obvious. The ball jumps off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, no matter who it is, you can the difference between now and back when, like during the steroid era, is there were probably four or five guys on the team that could give you a home run threat. The other ones, the last four, whatever, they were just like, what? They were just like, whatever. We're not gonna worry about them just because they're either gonna get a single or they're not even gonna get a hit because
right.
they're just defensive. They're elite defensive players. But now 1 through 9, anyone is capable of hitting an opposite field homer right now. And I think you can maybe attribute that to the way that the young players are kind of adjusting their swing. You can attribute that to whatever, but I think it's a culmination of things. You can attribute it to the higher pitching velocity of all these guys because they're pitching harder than ever. It's normal now to see a starter like Gerrit Cole throw 97
yep.
in the sixth inning and then throw 101 on his 110th pitch. That's not normal. That's just me showing off about Gerrit Cole. But like there's got to be something to it. But I mean, I don't know. Is Verlander really trying to make like a difference here, though? It's like, what does he want? Because I think baseball, the intention was, we want these guys to hit more because pitchers' duels just aren't that entertaining to the regular fan. Maybe home runs are, but now they're seeing the outcome of it, and they're still seeing that they're number three in major sports.
But this is the crazy part about it, because when you have a pitcher's duel, like we saw it this last week with the Giants against the Cardinals, you had a great pitcher's duel where you had a no-no going, basically, and mm-hmm. Evan Longoria broke it up with a home run. Jeff Samardzija had 7 shutout innings in that game, and you had a game that went like 225. And what's one of the biggest issues in baseball? The time that's spent out there.
Right.
You know, people don't have the attention span now, apparently, for watching baseball. So you have these faster games when you have a good pitching duel. But at the same time, maybe also that helps by having, you know, right now it's either a home run or a strikeout. That's basically what you're getting more. You don't have as much small ball, which I personally enjoy as a baseball fan, but is that going to actually make a game longer by having more small ball? Yeah. But what's more entertaining?
Right.
What do people enjoy more? Do they enjoy watching just back-to-back home runs, or do they like watching the play on the field?
Right. And I think from a 408 here on the Tilt Nobody text line's got a good point. What's the difference from letting everyone who hits the ball do steroids and now the ball itself is on steroids?
Good point.
Like, they realized that people were almost longing for the steroid era after all the allegations were gone, after all the Rafael Palmeiro stuck his finger in Bernie Sanders' face and said, I'm not lying. You know that was Bernie Sanders, right? Doing that whole litigation or whatever. Yeah, so it's gone from that now to the point where people are like, well, we want that back. And then so baseball's like, what can we do? Well, let's do this to the baseball.
Instead of juicing the players, you juice the ball.
It's like, but, and I guess it's, I don't know. It's just, it, for me, as I'm looking at the home run derby last night, a lot of people, including me, from 5:15 to 5:30, in case you're just getting in your car, you missed probably an annoying rant on why I didn't enjoy the behind the scenes stuff, because what was on the field was fantastic. The product on the field was great. But behind the scenes stuff wasn't working. There's always something for baseball. There's always some problem that everyone has with it. And what can baseball do to fix it? I wish I had the answer for you.
Well,
but I don't.
The other thing is, by juicing the baseballs, it's also counteracting analytics
right.
and what that's done to the game, because now you're seeing, you know, you're seeing the shift and everything and how that's changed the game. And now players are having to adjust hitting into the shift and how to change their batting stances and everything. So that's the other difference, that this is almost the way for baseball to kind of counteract that. You know, going against the analytics in a way by, you know, having players be able to hit more home runs.
Right. And this is why you appreciate guys like Mike Trout that are going out there, because he's still hitting 300, mm-hmm. but still hitting with power and doing everything he can to just be a complete baseball player. Some guys, they just don't care to really hit for average. They don't. It's just not how it is anymore. And Mike Trout clearly cares more about the originality of the game, and he's just a complete hitter, and he's something otherworldly that I think more people need to be drawn attention to. Hopefully tonight that's all done. Did you see what they did with Bryce Harper?
No, what happened?
They put him, I don't know if they put Manny Machado up there, but they put him on the All-Star banner. It was a picture of him at the front of like a flying V of players outside of Cleveland to promote the All-Star game. And Bryce Harper didn't even make the All-Star team. I was looking at players that have a higher OPS and a higher slugging percentage than him. It's astounding. Dansby Swanson has a higher slugging percentage than Bryce Harper.
He was one of the big stars that they were all excited about, though, in Atlanta. So, Atlanta, we'll see what happens with that team. That team has been an interesting one to watch right now, and who knows, they might be able to get a big ace on their side soon.
Yeah. From the 831 on the Chilton Autobody text line, it seems as if the pitcher and the batter are both getting advantages. So what kind of cancels out any team advantage? So are we discussing if you like more action in baseball or less? I'm just happy if it's not cheating, then it's one-sided. And then from the 408 on the Chilton Autobody text line, why was last night fun? You saw personality and emotion, something old heads need to embrace or run the risk of losing the young fan. Yeah, you saw that on the field. It's cool, but you need more than just celebrating. Like, you need more than just Peter. Like, there was emotion there.
Liked his bat flip.
You did tell that they were into it. But but I also think at the end, they're just sitting there going, wait a second, Guerrero Jr. didn't win? After all that? After that whole thing with Jock Peterson, he didn't win. What is up with that?
I think you have to understand it, though.
The 408, though, like the reason I didn't think it was, I think it was great. Like, I thought the product on the field was great, but I'm just saying the behind the scenes stuff, what could have been done with the broadcast and all that sort of thing. That's kind of what I took issue with.
That's the nuances that we understand more, though. That you kind of, you know, we kind of follow all that. And I think just because we're around it so much that we pay closer attention to it. And, you know, when you're doing a bunch of stuff maybe around the house, or if you're, you know, when you're having a party or something and watching the home run derby, you may not pay as close attention to it. We're watching a little bit closer because we're also analyzing that.
It's true. It's true. And maybe I'm just like, you know, just speaking for nobody here. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. But I feel like at least some people echo that sentiment. Man, what did he compare Pete Alonso to? A stronger David Wright. Wow.
trying to bring in a little history.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
That's all.
All right. So, Roxy Lowe and Dibs are going to be joined by Tom Glavine at 7:30. I'm really curious to get his take on all of this. And from the Chilton Autobody text line from the 831, Matt Chapman would not have won, but next time he does this, his dad needs to stay at home with a big LOL. So he's joking.
Leave Papa Chappy at home.
831.
Be nice to him.
831 is joking here with the big LOL in all caps. I assume that's what that means. But would you think that he'd have his dad go out there again if he were to join the home run derby again?
He might have dad warm up a little more. Be like, Dad, we need to get some more practice. Mind you, he was also just added late.
True.
I can imagine that if he had known earlier, his dad probably would have been out there.
Gotta,
you know,
give him the benefit of the doubt.
On the field, practicing at home more. Yeah. He flew out separately. He flew out earlier than Chappie. So,
yeah,
poor guy. Leave the poor guy alone. It was still a great moment. Dream come true.
Yeah, except the dream. I don't know if it was a dream. It was a dream come true beforehand. And then it kind of turned into a nightmare when he's throwing sliders.
Oh, that's all right. Poor guy. I felt bad for him. I was like, come on, Dad. Get in there. Get the...
Yeah, as long as he gets the recognition that he deserves and the publicity and whatever, and the people actually know who Matt Chapman is and maybe pay attention to him a little more closely during the season, and they realize how good of a defender he is and all that sort of stuff, he's a complete player.
It's also unfortunate he went up against Vlad Jr. Also in the first round. I mean, as soon as I saw that, I was like, ooh, yeah, it's not a good matchup.
I thought it was unfortunate for Vlad Jr. I mean, the guy's going out there and he's hitting 15 unnecessary bombs, which had him tired in the last final round, which gave Peter Alonso the go-ahead.
Well, that you could say that might have been a big issue with why he didn't win. So maybe he has to play a little bit differently the next time around.
Yeah, I'm wondering though if what they're going to do, because they change the format every year. They do.
It's been like this a few years now.
They do something different.
I like it though. I honestly like this format better because I liked the other way before. It was all right.
No,
you know,
they got
the 10 strikes, the 10 outs.
They got a good basis here.
Yeah.
But when your guy that everyone on Twitter was going nuts over doesn't win, I mean, it's great. Like, Peter Alonso won fair and square. There's no debate. There's no arguing that. But I think, like, a lot of people would just rather have seen kind of this wonder kid 20-year-old going out there hitting placatas, as he puts it, because there's a video that goes out. Recommend everyone watches it. Carlos Pena on MLB Network. I think last year, 2 years ago, he was Vlad Guerrero Jr. was 19 at the time, or 18 rather, and he's hitting 400-foot bombs off of tees. And so I recommend looking that up. And then he explains the meaning of placata, because if you saw him afterwards when he was his last home run, when he was like going for that winner. Over Jock Peterson, he was going placata, 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 and I was so happy. It made me happy. Tom Glavine again at 7:30 with Roxy Lowe and Dibs, and then Caron Butler at 8:30.
Ooh, that's gonna be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of moves going on around the Warriors.
What were you
right
about
now
to say before I rudely interrupted you?
That's all right. I was gonna say you're watching the All Star game tonight. Then obviously,
yeah, I'll be
Come
watching.
On, we gotta get people watching.
Yeah. I mean,
I love the All-Star game.
Gonna be so many home runs though.
Yeah.
Who do you think hits more home runs? Real quick, 30 seconds. More AL or NL?
Oh, AL.
Stop it. Stop it, Lo.
You're going to watch, Lo. Yeah.
That shirt is four sizes too small.
That's typical Lo fashion. And it's wet.
It's too small.
Oh, my gosh. It's drenched.
It's too small?
Yeah.
It's drenched.
It's
all drenched. Well, that's because it's wet and it's like clinging on you right now.
Good Lord. Don't flex your muscles at us, man. God. Roxy Lo and Dibs coming up next with Tom Glavine, 7:30.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.